Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
This Thanksgiving, what I am thankful for is... I've been living on a ship for a long time. I've been restricted to eating the food that is on the ship. And I have been, not to get graphic, not to give a TMI, I've been backed up for about 3 to 4 weeks now. We're talking constant stomach aches. We're talking me laying on the ground trying to do different yoga poses that are supposed to improve digestion. Cut to Thanksgiving. All the Americans in our cast, we threw like a Thanksgiving party for our cast in our dressing room. We made like a makeshift table. We got a bunch of food at Trader Joe's that wouldn't need to be cooked because we don't have access to a kitchen. So just like stuff that needed to be refrigerated. And we laid it all out and we all got together and we all ate. And there were so many grapes. And there are never grapes on the boat. And I ate those grapes like my life depended on it.
Yeah.
Nary a stomach ache since. Moving and grooving. The pipes are flowing again.
No, I'm glad.
This Thanksgiving, I'm thankful for grapes.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Recovering Gleek, colon, a Glee podcast. My name is not Baby, it's Ian, Mr. Allred if you're nasty. And I am a Gleek.
Hey, what's up, everyone? My first name ain't Lena. It's Janet. Ms. Jackson, if you're nasty. Whoa.
This is...
What did you say? Baby.
This is humiliating. How long have we known each other? I literally had no idea your name was Janet.
I kept it a secret. What can I say? That's one of those things that's like, you know, I go by my middle name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Janet Lena Jackson, but sometimes you just say Knatzer as like a little.
Yeah.
It's your stage name.
It's my stage name. My stage name is Lena Knatzer.
Got it.
Yeah. It was also Janet Jackson is already, you know, Janet Jackson.
Exactly.
She's already in the union. I can't take it.
Exactly. You were like, that can't be my equity name. Why do you think his name is Michael B. Jordan? Because there's already a Michael Jordan out in the world.
Literally. Come on, you guys.
Yeah.
Shoot. You guys know the drill.
Can't get another Janet Jackson out in here.
How's it going, everyone?
It's going
Hope
pretty
you
well.
Had a... Oh, good.
How's it going, everyone? Answer us right now. Uh-huh.
I'm listening.
Oh, cool. Oh, that sucks. I'm sorry. Oh, but that's good. Okay.
Okay. And? And then? No way.
No way.
Stop.
Are you kidding? No.
No.
You're lying.
Okay, cool. I know. Well, honestly, thanks for sharing. Love you guys. Are you ready to talk about freaking Puppet Master?
I'm so beyond ready to talk about Puppet Master.
I think we are about to say the same thing. I was like, if Ian doesn't like this episode, I might die. I'm going to die on the hill that Puppet Master is a great episode.
This episode's a capital B banger. Like, I was not even like, oh, it's a little better than I remember. I was like, this episode is just like... objectively a good episode of television.
No, this episode's amazing. Like, literally, I was laughing up a storm. All the numbers are awesome. Like, like it is like all the fun parts of Britney. But, like...
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's so fun.
It felt like... Watching this episode, I'm going to be honest. Watching it, I was like, I should rewatch Britney, and maybe I was too hard on it because I had such a fun time with this one. And so, like, I'm just going to put the disclaimer that maybe I have different views of Britney now if I were to rewatch it, and I physically can't because I don't have the internet to do so at this moment. But something that like bothered me about Britney that I remember bothering me at the time was all the fantasy sequences felt like they were very fun, but they felt forced because it was like, how can we force this character to sing this Britney Spears song? And they would kind of do some like out of character stuff or like things that just didn't feel very natural to me to justify the song. Whereas in Puppet Master, because it's not a tribute episode, all the fantasy sequences make a lot of sense with who that character is and what they're going through in the episode.
Sure.
And they're all a great time.
I'm glad. No, this episode is really fun. I think like all the songs are heaps of fun. All of the like the drug induced musical numbers are awesome. Mm-hmm. It's just like really funny. I'm into this episode. I think it's really fun.
You heard it here first. Puppet Master is a good episode of television.
Good episode. No, it's great. I think it's easy. I literally was like thinking about this. I was trying to like decipher my feelings. So I'm like, I have always like thought about this episode really like
same
with disdain. And listen,
same.
I don't think this episode ends great, but I think this episode is great. And that's probably what I'm remembering.
I'm so glad you said that. I had the same experience. I was like, I wonder if What Does the Fox Say left such ruins a bad taste in my mouth that I forgot everything that happened everything. Prior. Because
no, honestly.
What does the Fox Say is like, I mean, the biggest issue is it is, besides Gangnam Style, the most glaring example, in my opinion, of Glee just picking a song because they're like, please watch our show. Please watch our show. Please watch our show. Like, oh, this song's a meme right now. Please watch our show. We're singing the song on the show. Please watch. Please watch. Please watch. It comes out of nowhere. It doesn't make any sense. No. It's just like kind of embarrassing to watch them do it. But everything before those last 2 minutes is so good.
No, literally. Which like, I mean, is it is something to note about this episode that like their, you know, their insatiable need to end the episode with a group number that is like a popular song to get streams, you know, is the nail in its coffin, unfortunately. But this episode rocks otherwise.
Let's hear some glacks about an absolutely incredible hour of television, Puppet Master.
Oh, yeah, it's time for the glacks.
Puppet Master, Season 5, Episode 7, 95th episode overall, aired on topical Thanksgiving night, November 28th, 2013.
No way.
Bizarre that last year when the episode didn't... Wait, actually, did Thanksgiving come out on Thanksgiving? It might have. Take that back. I forgot that Glee always airs on a Thursday at this time, so Thanksgiving probably did air on Thanksgiving. So ignore everything I was about to say just then. But it aired on Thanksgiving night, November 28th, 2013, and it was, drumroll please, the lowest watched episode of the series to date.
No, sad.
Those people don't know what they were missing.
This episode's good, you guys. Go back and retroactively watch it.
But having it air on a holiday and not be themed to that holiday is kind of a bad call.
I also feel like Thanksgiving night is not the time to, like, watch a new episode of Glee.
No. You're, like, watching Christmas movies.
Yeah.
Or, like if you're my family, you're, like, going to the movie theater.
Totally. Oh, absolutely. Going to the movie theater is a big one. I feel like if you're going to air something on Thanksgiving, it's in the morning or we're not going to watch it. At least, like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
In, like, American audiences are not watching new episodes at nighttime.
Yeah, everyone's like asleep or out.
Yeah.
This is on them.
Or working or going to bed because they have to work really early in the morning if you're out.
Yeah, or getting that sweet, sweet holiday pay.
Double pay, baby. Hello.
This episode was directed by Paul McCrane and it was written by
Paul McCartney. Just kidding. I'm sorry.
This was directed by Paul McCartney, Sir Paul McCartney, and it was written by. So I remember the first time that this man wrote an episode, and I was like, this man is such an awful writer. Here's a list of some of the episodes he's done. And it was I Kissed a Girl, which I stand by, that episode's bad.
Yeah.
Shooting Star, which I stand by, that episode's bad. And then this one, and I was like, and that episode's bad. My apologies, Matthew Hodgson. This episode's good.
This episode rocks. And honestly, I'm going to say it here and now. I highly doubt that what the Fox say is like his fault. I bet that's Orion.
No,
that has
I agree.
Ryan Murphy stink on it.
I super agree with that. And I Kissed a Girl and Shooting Star are still dreadful episodes of television. So he's still, you know, he's still a little bit on my shit list. But
that's one for two, really.
I'd like to apologize. Well, he also wrote Saturday Night Gleaver, and that episode's pretty good. But I'd like to apologize to him for bad-mouthing this one. Also, the last, most recent episode Matthew Hodgson wrote was Shooting Star. Are there two more different episodes in the history of television than Shooting Star and Puppet Master?
This one has, like, no stakes at all. It's fun.
It is truly, like, one of the episodes is everything that is wrong, like every way that Glee handles things poorly, and the other episode is like all the ways that Glee succeeds as a TV show. Like Shooting Star is Glee taking itself way too seriously, putting way too high stakes, not really thinking things through, and just taking way too big of swings. And this episode is like nothing matters and it's all kooky and fun.
Yeah, totally.
And that's what I love this show. Yeah, songs seriously. And Puppet Master. We have Into the Groove by Madonna, performed by Pamela Lansbury. You're My Best Friend by Queen, performed by Blaine and the Puppet New Directions. We have a mashup of Nasty and Rhythm Nation by Janet Jackson, performed by Jake, Marley, and Brie. This is seven episodes in, the first mashup of season 5.
Whoa.
It's the final time Brie ever sings. Goodbye, Brie. Miss you so much. It's very highly inspired by the Rhythm Nation music video. Mm-hmm. Once it goes into the Rhythm Nation sequence, the black and white, the choreography, the outfits, all of that is a shout out to that music video. Also, when we switch from Nasty to Rhythm Nation, Brie slaps Jake across the face and then it does the transition. She lifts up her right hand to smack him. Then the camera cuts to his face and he gets smacked by her left hand. So she did a little, like, to keep him on his toes, she did a little fake out where she's like, oh, you're ready for your left cheek to get hurt? Just kidding!
Oh, totally.
Smacked him on the other side.
Totally.
A fun fact about Rhythm Nation by Janet Jackson is that there is a frequency in this song, like the sound frequency that the bass of this song plays at, that in the mid-2000s was at, how do I say this without sounding stupid? A fun fact about the song Rhythm Nation by Janet Jackson, which I learned just today, is there was a time period in the mid-2000s that when people would play this song on their laptop would break. Or if they played it close to another laptop, the laptop would break. Like, it would break computers. And they found out that the frequency that the bass plays at in this song is, like, such a specific, exact frequency that was put into the hardware of those computers. And so when it would match up, it would cause them to break.
Whoa.
I imagine since then, they've started making computers differently so that Janet Jackson cannot destroy them.
Thank God.
From the past.
Seriously. Fix computers. Don't fix the Janet Jackson. That's awesome. That's really crazy. I feel like I remember that.
Then we have Cheek to Cheek by Fred Astaire, performed by Will and Sue. This is crazy to me. This is the first duet that Will and Sue have ever sung on the show. Which is wild, because I feel like when I think of Glee, Will and Sue duets are such a staple. But I guess it's just from this point moving forward. But I can think off the top of my head right at this moment, I can think of three duets besides this one that they sang on this show that haven't happened yet.
Oh.
I guess just in Glee's final days, they got really into having those two sing together.
Honestly, I think it's a good choice.
This isn't the first duet that they recorded, though, because back in Makeover Season 4, Episode 3, they fully recorded and filmed them performing Mr. Monopoly and then cut it from the episode. But it is the first one to actually make the show.
Okay.
And then finally, we have the number that absolutely ruins the episode and made both of us believe it was a bad episode for years and years and years, which is The Fox by Ylvis. I think that's how that's pronounced. If it's not, yeah. I'm so sorry. I'm sure that band listens to this podcast. I'm sorry for hurting your feelings. Performed by the New Directions and Pamela Lansbury. Reportedly, this episode was originally going to end with We Can't Stop by Miley Cyrus. It was changed for unknown reasons. I think that would have been a better choice, but I also, it also doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Just like We Can't Stop with puppets. I don't know. Do like
a Muppet
moving
song.
Right along in search of something. Can you imagine if they did a Muppets medley at the end of this episode?
That'd be kind
of fun. Together again.
Be kind of cute. Matthew Hodgson, I have some notes.
This looks incredible. Both Darren Criss and Kevin McHale say that this is their least favorite of all the songs that they've done on Glee. Kevin McHale has actually talked a big game about how this is the moment, this performance is what broke him. He talks about on Showmance, and then again on That's What You Really Missed, his two podcasts with Jenna Ushkowitz, they talk about how, like, you know, Glee was very demanding of the cast. They're all very young. They all were pushed very hard. And it was just, they talk about how, like, it was a good experience overall, but it was just a lot was asked from them. And they talk about how Kevin was the last one to break. That everyone had a moment when they were like, I'm so over doing this show, like, it's so hard, whatever. And they had, like, a bit of a meltdown. And Kevin stayed, like, happy to be on the show, happy to be doing it, until What Does the Fox Say? And that was his moment. He was the very last one to be like, this is stupid, I hate doing this.
Yeah. Ugh.
So, What Does the Fox Say? Took out the last remaining member.
Wow. Well, sure. I mean, with good reason. It would take me out too, I think.
No, I think I was watching it, and I literally, watching it, I was like, how were they not embarrassed? And I was trying to look at their faces to be like, which one of them is embarrassed? Like, which one of them is like...
Naya Rivera.
Oh, there's the moment when she has her puppet and she's smiling at it and you can see the pain in her eyes. You can see that she's like, do it for the check. Do it because your boyfriend wrote this episode. Do it for the check. Do it for your boyfriend. It's bad. You know who? And you know, I can't tell... I don't know what was going through their minds, but you know who seems to not be embarrassed at all by this number?
Who?
Adam Lambert and Lea Michele.
Oh, literally. I was like,
they're both so into it that I'm like, you guys.
Goes, ooh. And I'm like, oh my God, stop.
Rachel is like trying to be all like hot and flirting with Elliot the whole time. And I'm like, first of all, sister, he's gay. And second of all, you literally are singing What Does the Fox Say with a puppet. Like, take stock of what's going on right now. Not the time or place to be hitting on someone.
Maybe those two like just had like a good day on set together. So they're like just kind of having a good time.
Yeah. And I mean, I respect that it's like we have to do it anyway. So we might as well commit to it.
Oh,
but they're very into it.
It's really stupid. It's fun, though. Oh, my God. We'll talk about it later. My feelings on that.
So, originally in this episode, they were going to have Becky... Well, they were going to have Blaine and puppet Becky and Jake perform Don't You Forget About Me by Simple Minds in detention. But it was cut from the episode. I don't think it was ever recorded. It was just... an idea that floated around. This is the first episode of season 5 in which Sam does not sing. This is exactly what I have written down for this Glact. This is Bree's last appearance ever. Bye, bitch. That's what I put
down. Bye, bitch.
Not a Bree fan, apparently. You know, I think Erin, whatever the heck her last name is, does a great job. I just don't need that character.
Out of character for you. You love a girl bitch, you know.
I know, but it's like we already have so many on this show. It's just because they keep redeeming them, so then they have to add another one who's meaner. Yeah. And I mostly don't like Bree because I don't like Jake's downfall and him reverting back to who he was, and so I can't like divorce her from that plotline in my mind. After Glee ended, I think, they had an auction where they auctioned off a ton of props from the show, one of which was the Blaine puppet from this episode. And it was auctioned off. for $3,000.
Oh, honestly, that's less expensive than I thought it would have been.
I know,
for.
Me too. I thought it would be more as well.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be like $50,000.
Seriously, like a house. Someone gave them their house to have Felt Blaine. Well, those are your puppet glacks.
Thanks for those puppet glacks, Puppet Ian.
You're puppet welcome, Puppet Lena.
Puppet thanks.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Are you ready for a puppet recap?
I puppet am.
Oh. Puppet, get ready. Okay. Here's... What's the bit you started that I never remember?
That we sing something about a recap.
One of the songs in this episode, the fox say, "Here comes a recap." All right, here goes. Here's a twist on Glee. Blaine becomes incredibly controlling when the time comes for the Glee Club to brainstorm ideas for upcoming national championships. He decides to ask Kurt for more advice, and Kurt calls him a puppet master, forcing Blaine to become even more controlling and furious. Back in New York, Kurt has trouble with Pamela Lansbury and their big launch. At McKinley, Bree and Jake have a pregnancy scare, and the superintendent misgenders Sue, and she decides to get with the help of Unique to become more feminine. Oh my god, I totally forgot there's a gas leak at McKinley, which has been making all of them hallucinate musical numbers. And that's what you missed on Glee!
Wow. Incredible.
You heard it here first. This episode kind of rocks. I really enjoy it. Yeah.
You want to know what I love most about this episode?
What?
One, Plain Blanderson is plain and bland no more.
No, he
found himself a personality.
He's so fun. He is too fun.
This episode is like such a shining example to me of why giving your characters flaws makes them more compelling.
Yeah.
Because season two, Blaine, God love him, he's just Kurt's hero and perfect boyfriend. And then this episode, I was like, oh, he's controlling and doesn't listen to other people.
Yeah.
I actually care about what goes on with this guy now. He seems like a real person.
Totally. And like, he's got like way too much going on and like way too many hobbies and is like at his breaking point. I love it.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree. I think he is just like at his wit's end this episode, and it just makes for like good, fun television. I feel like watching him like cope with missing his boyfriend and also like, you know, like having troubles in Glee Club and having troubles in school, like manifest in him making puppets of all of his friends and and him like talking to a puppet of his boyfriend, like imagining everyone as puppets, and also like, you know, I just think it's just so cute and fun. I love it.
I know, it's all very dumb. I also love that it's not just, you know, Blaine messes up, he finds out he's too controlling, and then he feels really bad, and then he apologizes to everyone. Like, Blaine for sure learns his lesson and apologizes at the end of the episode. But they have a lot of fun getting there of showing like bad sides of Blaine. Where, you know, we see one, first of all, this scene is just so funny because Brad never talks, and anytime he does talk, it's hilarious that he's talking. But when he walks into the choir room and keeps talking about, like, why does everyone think I'm so selfish? And they think I don't listen. And they think I only, like, care about myself and I'm too controlling. And the whole time he's fully talking over Brad, who's trying to talk about how his gambling addiction got so bad that he, like, has lost his home. That scene is so funny.
It's so funny.
The fantasy puppet sequences are hysterical because they're so tongue-in-cheek stupid.
Yeah.
Like, one, Darren Criss is acting as if he's a special guest on Sesame Street when he's interacting with the puppets. Like, so cheery and happy. But then you still see how kind of like one-track mind and self-centered he is, mm-hmm. where there's a moment during You're My Best Friend where he sings with the Jake puppet and then, like, without realizing it, swipes his hand and smacks the puppet so hard it flies off camera and then just keeps singing like, we were having so much fun!
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, no, it's great.
It's so fun. Like, speaking of this episode being tongue-in-cheek, I feel like this episode, more than any other episode before, has so many lines of people calling out the shit that doesn't make sense in this episode. Mm-hmm. Namely, Sue, like, calling out how it doesn't make any sense that, like, Blaine cannot just go to New York for the evening. Her being, like talking to Will at the end of the episode and saying something along the lines of, like, I'm not going to give you more budget for Glee costumes. Like, what the fuck was that parachute a couple episodes ago? You know, for the Lady Gaga number. Like, come on. You know, I, like, more than any other episode, this episode is like, we know what we are. Let's put some puppets on the screen. You know what I mean? And I really love that. That feels like, it feels like, for me, do you know what I mean? Like, it feels like,
yes,
we know that, like, the only people who are sticking on this show are people who really want to watch it, and here's some, like, stupid shit for you guys, you know what I mean? So I really like it,
and I am game for anything that knows what it is. Yeah. You know, like, when it gets really hard for me for Glee is when I feel like it doesn't understand what it is and is trying to be something else. But I'm like, you can be as dumb as you want as long as you know that you're being dumb. Like, bring some puppets on the screen. I'm all for it as long as you're like, wink, wink, we know this is ridiculous. Just go along with
it. Yeah. And I mean, thinking back to, I think, an episode that I think I, like, equate this episode with in my mind, but like the body swap episode.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what my point was. Never mind. I'm tired.
Wait, what?
I literally don't remember.
I wanted to hear what you were going to say.
I don't remember.
Everyone go watch Props.
Did we Season like Props? Three.
We didn't like Props because the whole point of Props was, Tina, shut up, Rachel's amazing. We like stuff about Props. Okay, yes.
This is my thought. Oh my god, I'm literally so exhausted. So, Props is a fun idea, but it doesn't know what it is enough to be funny.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Puppet Master.
Oh, absolutely.
Is a great idea, and it knows what it is, and it's funny. You know what I mean?
You're so right, because Props is like, it's really fun to see everyone impersonate each other. But
maybe because they're
really
the two Thanksgiving
like two
episodes,
seconds.
You know?
Yes, exactly. I'm so glad you said it, because Props is a Thanksgiving special, and this was released on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, literally.
So, like, we always have to do something crazy for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, literally.
But yes, I agree. Props is an episode that I always remember being like, oh, this episode is so fun. It's the body swap episode. Mm-hmm. And then when I watch it, I'm like, that was 6 minutes. And also, they didn't really do anything with it.
Yeah,
like, most
totally.
Of it is just Tina singing, and that's it. But then this episode is one that I remember not liking. And then I watch it, and I'm like, no, this episode is so fun. Yeah. And it makes such good use of
it's
the ghastly hallucinations.
Yeah.
It makes incredible. And, like, the puppet stuff is very fun, obviously. But also, like, the Jake hallucination is, like, top 10 Glee performance of all time. I'll say it right here and now.
Oh, my
so,
God.
So amazing. No, so amazing.
Like, thank God they gave that man this song. They have been squandering his talents for too long.
For
and
real.
Seeing that number on this show, I was like, this is what I've been missing. You know, like some like season two bullshit spectacle, mm-hmm. like Cheerios mm-hmm. come in on a big set. It's black and white. Everything's crazy. You know, like it was like one of my favorite things I have seen on this television show in a long time. It was amazing.
And also what I love about that number, about Nasty / Rhythm Nation, is it's so spectacle, it's so, like, gorgeous to watch, but the stakes are astronomical.
Oh, it's
like,
wild.
I don't like the Jake plot of him becoming, as the recap says, a man slut again.
Yeah.
I think it's like, it was so cool to see him kind of change his ways. I also, as people have emailed in, it's a little problematic to have like the only male black character that's ever Absolutely. Been on the show and said more than four lines, to have it be like, well, he just can't help it but to sleep with everyone. And Bree even says, oh, are you going to have seven children by seven different women? And I was like, that's not a great stereotype to have the only black man on the show to have.
Absolutely.
But for this number specifically, to have the stakes of like, Jake has been trying to win back Marley, and she has been telling him essentially like, you're nasty, like you're disgusting, I want nothing to do with you. And now it's gotten so bad that even the girl he left Marley for, Bree, has had enough of it. Mm-hmm. Like all the people in his life are saying, you're gross, I want nothing to do with you, like you just don't treat people like people, I'm so over it. And to have him, also a great take on these lyrics, like to sing this song about like, I don't care, I'm a nasty boy and it's just who I am and I'm going to live my life. Mm-hmm. And then to have Marley and Bree singing backup, being all pissed at him.
Yeah.
Emotionally incredible, stake wise and storytelling wise, incredible. And then like visually an amazing performance.
Absolutely. The camp of having these two women and the rest of the New Directions standing behind these
the chain link fences,
just watching him and then like riffing back to him. It is everything. And the Cheerios coming in at the beginning. It's just so stunning. This entire song, like musical number, is just beautiful. And I love that Blaine's gas hallucination is puppets, and Jake's is a killer Janet Jackson mashup. Like, that's how cool this guy is. Like, and that's how lame Blaine is. But that's also a fun thing about them. You know, like, Blaine is so lame in this episode. Like, he goes to his senior elective is arts and crafts, like a big goob. I just love him.
Mm-hmm.
It's tons of fun.
That moment in Nasty / Rhythm Nation, before we hop off that song really fast, the moment when it's still in Nasty and Bree says to Jake, my first name ain't Baby, it's Janet. Miss Jackson, if you're nasty, slaps him, and on the slap, it changes to Rhythm Nation and goes into black and white.
I'm going to go watch it as soon as we're off this call. It was amazing.
I watched it again after I finished the episode. I rewound it and watched it again.
I hope you go to the bathroom so I can watch it in the middle of us recording this episode.
It's just amazing. And Melissa Benoist and Erin, I'm so sorry, I don't know her last name and I don't have the internet to look it up.
I can tell you.
But it's something with wood, I feel like. But they are acting the crap out of their Westbrook. Little... Literally, wood is not in that at all.
Brooke.
So don't know where I got that from.
Brooke is in a forest which has wood.
True. That's where my brain was going. But Erin Westbrook and Melissa Benoist, acting. Jacob Artist is dancing.
Yeah.
Neckbrace Cheerio is also there watching in the hallway. Amazing.
No, it's amazing.
5 stars.
It is so
also
amazing.
Melissa Benoist does that dance move.
I know, she goes with her boobs. It's so funny.
When he goes, the only nasty thing I like is a nasty groove. And then she does the I don't even know how to describe it. She's gyrating her whole body while wiping her hands down her chest.
It's funny.
It's a lot.
Yeah. It's a lot.
It's a lot to take in. I think she's so talented. That moment is maybe not it, though.
It's funny. There's that the moment where to redeem her, maybe when she goes, I go, my whole body freaks out. It's insane.
Amazing. Honestly, I hate the Charlie breakup storyline, but this is the silver lining. This number is so amazing, and I'm so glad it happened.
Honestly, I don't want to talk about the rest of this episode. I just want to talk
about
that song.
Nasty Rhythm Nation.
Yeah.
How do you feel about, I have a question. How do you feel about the Bree pregnancy scare?
I don't mind it. Why? I mean, obviously, like what you said, it is like a problematic thing to have the only black male character. You know, I think that that is problematic, so I don't like that. Woody, but I don't mind, you know, I feel like in my life, I have known a lot of men in my life who have not been careful about, you know, using contraception and just like leave it to women to figure out, like birth control and like, that kind of stuff. And also like, are assholes. So I do think that that is like a real learning experience where, you know, sometimes people really don't take that kind of stuff seriously and they're not ready to family plan. You know, and I think everyone should be able to like have, you know, the like live the life they want to live, but you got to be like cognizant of what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't like, I don't mind it because it doesn't feel slut shaming. It just feels like you have to be careful about what you're doing.
In the episode specifically, I think it works really well. And like you say, Jake needs a wake up call. And nothing has really been working as a wake-up call because Marley's not taking him back. So in the episode itself, I think it works out. And I like the added drama with Bree, where Bree now is very hurt by Jake and very disgusted by Jake and says, like, stay away from me, don't talk to me again. The thing that's always weird to me, but I don't think this is a necessarily bad thing, I'm just like, this show goes back to the pregnancy scare well so often.
It's yeah, a I cheating, hear that.
You know, where they're like, we need to break up a couple. Let's have them cheat on each other. And then when they're like, we need some drama of some kind, someone's pregnant. Because we had Quinn get pregnant in season one, which that was lovely and had a great storyline. And I'm pro that storyline. And then we had the infamous pregnancy scare of season four with Rachel, which I still don't know why it happened. It added nothing. It just felt like they needed something for sweep season and they wanted people to talk about the show more. And then we have this one. And I do think this one works well. I think it's just the season four Rachel pregnancy scare that just makes me annoyed. And so I see it happen again and I'm like, oh, another pregnancy scare on this show. Okay.
I hear that.
So I'm not against it. I'm just against a plotline that happened a year ago.
I hear that. It is like, it is, you know, they did just use it like very recently. So I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I don't think it, you know, I don't know. I hear that. They really did that whole Rachel pregnancy scare so dirty. That was so terrible.
I know. I don't even remember what the point was of it.
No.
I remember we got like a lovely Rachel and Santana scene from it, but beyond that, I'm like, it didn't even have any repercussions. It was just like
to get people to watch next time.
Seriously.
You know?
Seriously.
Like add tension.
Stupid. Do you have any thoughts about Jake that we haven't talked about?
I mean, there's the end where he like goes to Marley. We could talk about that.
Heck yeah. Tell me your thoughts. Yeah.
I personally like that part. I like that Marley has been like, I don't want this anymore. Like, I don't want this anymore. I'm glad that we see someone choose to be single on this TV show. For fuck's sake, it never happens. Like actively choose, you know, to be single, like by like seeing her do that, I think is one like a good thing. And then, I mean, I think it's a natural thing that when, you know, if you are used to being in relationships a lot, it's natural to like have a life change and then decide that life change wasn't like good for you and then go back to what was last comfortable to you. So I like Jake coming back to her and being like, I need to be with you again. I'm sorry. I fucked up. Like, let me be with you. And it's like, no, it's too little too late, as my friend JoJo says. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But I'm into it. I like that scene. What do you think?
Yeah. I like all the Jake stuff in this episode, honestly. And like I said, I like the pregnancy scare. It's just, I feel like they've gone to that well a lot, but I like the whole arc of him getting a wake-up call, of him trying to go back to Marley, but like you said, that the dust has already settled on that. Like, sorry, you messed up too much. I like seeing a more vulnerable side to Bree and seeing her as a human being. That's really lovely. Oh, yeah, that
was nice, for sure.
Frankly, this is Bree's best episode. There's a lot of good Bree stuff in this episode, just in time for her to leave. I think it's all great. I also love when Jake's in detention and Figgins is talking about why everyone's in detention, and he says that Jake started another fight in the hallway, and he says, "Why are you such a musical, mysterious bad boy?" That's incredible.
A musical, mysterious bad boy. Oh my God. I want to be that. That's so fun. Honestly, that little group in detention was very fun, even when they were just Muppets.
The Breakfast Club. When Figgins welcomes them to detention and says it's called the Breakfast Club because of how often Becky Jackson is in here.
Yeah.
And Blaine says, "Why is that?" And she goes, "Because I like saying bad words, bitch," and then pushes everything off her desk.
Becky has had some killer episodes these last couple of episodes.
She's so good in this episode. When it cuts to Sue's office and she's at her desk as the secretary and she's eating something out of a bowl and goes, "I'm lactose intolerant, so I may have to fart, coach." Oh, it's so good.
It is literally so good. They're eating ice cream. I love that part so much. I love that part. Oh my gosh. We'll get into Sue stuff later, but I love that part.
The Breakfast Club is a lot of fun. I also love Blaine's puppet fantasy in the Breakfast Club. Mm-hmm. One, how, because he tries to suggest, like, hey, let's all do what the Breakfast Club is. Like, let's all get to know each other and share our darkest secrets. And then Jake's like, "No, that sounds stupid. I'm going to leave, actually."
Yeah.
But then in his puppet-induced fantasy, how it is the Breakfast Club, and it's Becky talking about, like, "You know, the only reason that I bullied Dottie is because I just wanted to have my old man think I was cool."
Uh-huh.
And then I also love when Blaine starts to realize that he does have a control issue during that scene, and he says, mm-hmm. he says to Becky and Jake, he says, "You two are my closest friends." And Becky goes, "But we're puppets." And he's like, "Oh, maybe the fact that I can only feel like fully myself around puppets that I can control is a sign of a deeper intimacy issue." And then Jake goes, "Or maybe everyone should just do exactly what you say because you're so right on all the time."
Yeah, literally.
I love those moments when through Blaine's fantasy, we see personally... The reason I like Blaine so much in this episode is because, I don't know if you know this, I'm a very controlling person. I have major control issues. And so, like, the stuff that Blaine imagines the puppet saying to him mm-hmm. are, like, so relatable as to when I'm at my absolute worst, uh-huh. the things that I think people should say to me, where I'm like, everyone should just do everything I say because I'm so dead on all the time. And then when he first has the fantasy in the choir room, and it's all the puppets just being like, "We're so sorry that we ever doubted you. You're right about everything, and you're so smart and cool and awesome." I just think that stuff is so... funny, very self-aware and tongue-in-cheek about how ridiculous it all is and how ridiculous that mindset is.
Yeah.
That's great.
Honestly, a person probably with control issues wrote this. Matthew Hodgson has control issues, and this is what he wants to hear.
I'm sure he does, because it's pretty dead on.
No, it's really funny. Honestly, it's very funny.
I also love, in the choir room hallucination, someone says, like, "Oh, Blaine, you're the most talented person at McKinley," or something. And Sam goes, "Yeah, and that's why we're best friends, even though I'm straight and you're gay and I'm blonde and you're gay. May the force be with you."
May the force be with you. No, it's everyone's caricatures of themselves is like so great this episode.
Blaine leaning so hard into being like, "You know what? Everyone is wrong. And I am right, and they should do anything I say," to the point that he fully makes a puppet of Kurt so that he can, imagine Kurt apologizing to him mm-hmm. and then forgive Kurt through the puppet.
Mm-hmm.
All very funny. Especially when he runs into Sue, like trips into her, and then she goes, "Did you just touch me with a puppet?" Like, so violated and grossed out, and then tells him, quote, "If I catch you with your hand up the butt of anything that isn't human, you're in a world of trouble."
It's so funny. And when he calls the puppet, he goes, "Kurt puppet," or "puppet Kurt."
"Kurt puppet."
"Kurt puppet." It's so stupid. And him, like, okay, wait. Him going to Sue's office and then getting caught, like, mask. He's wearing a mask.
His nightbird mask.
I literally, it's so funny. He should have, if he was in the costume, I think I would have laughed. But literally, Sue being like, "You think I didn't think you were going to be here under the cover of Nightfall?" You, like, so fucking funny. Tell me.
"To reclaim your monstrous puppet bride, you strange, tiny, doe-eyed pervert." This episode's amazing.
No, seriously. Let's get every word, like, printed off and make it wallpaper for our house. Like, it's so good.
When puppet Becky tells Blaine, because Jake is like, "Blaine, you're so awesome." Puppet Jake is like, "Blaine, you're so awesome." And then Becky goes, "Yeah, you're America's gay sweetheart." it's all so good.
Funny. No, it's really great. All of this, honestly, this entire Blaine plot is just awesome. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, I think, you know, so often on this show, I think you mentioned it a little bit before, where, you know, they kind of, like, wrap things up with a little bow, where it's like, oh, you know, he's going to learn to not be so controlling. And he does learn to not be so controlling, but, like, he's going to transfer those control issues he has into being a better leader instead of, like, you know, and I think it's just, like, I feel like a pretty natural progression into the end of that plot rather than just, like, it being, like, off base, if that makes sense. I don't know. It's just, like, this plot is so lovely. I really love the entire thing. And I think it's, like, really hard to be a senior and, like, have control issues and, like, want everything to be great and care about something so much and, like, want to do a good job so bad. And then, you know, everyone has their own free will. That's the hard part about being in a group is, like, you can't control them and, like, learning that, you know, so that's what makes a group good sometimes, you know? I don't know. It's just, I think this plot is so lovely.
I know. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. I like it a lot.
Everyone getting their own puppet randomly, like, made me, like, clutch my heart. I was like, oh, that's so sweet. Like, I don't know. I just thought that was, like, a sweet, like, I don't know, a sweet bow on the end of this episode, of this plot, to borrow that phrase.
I also like he mails the New York crew puppets of themselves. And I love Santana and Rachel's reactions to it, where they open the box and Santana says, "That is creepy as hell." And then Rachel looks in the box and Leah Michelle's delivery, you can't tell if she's horrified or if she's really excited. She goes, "Is there one of everyone?" Her, like, wait, do I have a puppet too?
That's probably how I would feel, like, horrified, but also excited.
If someone made a puppet of me, I'd be psyched out of my mind.
No, I'd be psyched. I remember at, like, FAO Schwartz that you used to be able to make a puppet of yourself or, like, anyone, and I really wanted to make one so bad.
I had a major Muppets phase as a kid to the point that, like, I was planning on working at Muppet Studios.
Oh, hell yeah.
I would have died. True, it's not too late, but I'm not really interested in anything they're doing anymore. I'm sorry, I watched Muppet Haunted Mansion starring Darren Criss and it was not that great.
I didn't watch it.
But I would die if someone made a puppet of me. Holy cow.
We'll make it happen. I remember my high school theater teacher had a puppet that he made at that. It might have been FAO Schwartz. It could have been something else. But he had a puppet and he, like, brought it to class.
Amazing. I just have a continuity question with this Blaine plot really quick. Blaine says to them at the beginning, he's being bossy, he's trying to take charge of the Glee Club, no one's listening to him, and he says, "I have won more show choir competitions than anyone in this room." Is that true? I don't think that's true.
Is it true? I think it potentially could be true.
If he competed at other show choir competitions besides sectionals, regionals, and nationals, it could be true. If we're going off of sectionals, regionals, and nationals, season 3 and 4, he won the same amount as everyone else because he was in the New Directions. Mm-hmm. In season 1, he would have won sectionals and regionals potentially, but lost nationals because Vocal Adrenaline won. So he gets two. He gets 2 for season 1. The New Directions have 1. But then in season 2, he wins sectionals and loses regionals. So he only has 1 in season 2. The New Directions win sectionals and regionals. So they have 2 in season 2, meaning they all are on a level playing field. They have all won the same amount. At least Tina and Artie.
Yeah. At least Tina and Artie. And I think that's the distinction is Tina and Artie are the ones who've been in the, like, who've been in the club, in a Glee club for as long as he has. So I think it's that. And not that, like, Tina and Artie don't count, but they're not the majority of this group, you know?
Yeah. And there is, like, Tina has a very offended reaction. So maybe that was purposeful that it's like, no, Tina has won as many as he has.
Yeah.
So maybe they're aware that that math doesn't check out.
Maybe. I don't think so.
Who knows?
But maybe Jenna Ushkowitz is.
I will say, I don't think so either, because there's a huge continuity mistake in this episode, which is that we see Sue on her first day working at McKinley in the 80s with long blonde hair. However, in The Power of Madonna, we are told that Sue, as a child, bleached her hair so badly that it can't grow past its current Bob Pixie cut because she was trying to look like Madonna.
Yeah.
Big continuity error.
Huge
Matthew Hodgson.
Come on. Shoot. Don't you watch this show.
Also, is Blaine on the Cheerios still? I don't remember.
You're asking the wrong girl. You think I watch Glee? I'm like Matthew Hodgson. I just visit this show. No, I don't remember.
Did he quit? I don't remember either. I'll have to do some research on that. When did Blaine stop being a Cheerio? Because he hasn't been one this whole season.
No. And is that because they just forgot about it? Or is that because he chose not to be one?
Because he went back to the Cheerios with Sam to overthrow Sue. And then Sue quit. And then he went to try and get Sue back.
But now
did
maybe
he quit once Roz took over?
Yeah, maybe.
I guess. I don't know.
Does this show even know?
I don't know, honestly. You want another question? Here's another question for you. Where's Nurse Penny? Where'd she go? Should we never see her again?
Ever?
No.
Sam's dating Rachel now, so that makes sense.
Oh!
Freaking heck!
Ah, you're so right!
That's why she's not here. I liked her.
I did too. That relationship was a little weird.
It certainly was. Frankly, thinking about it, I can definitely see why they maybe didn't want to keep going with that, because that was like almost definitely a Finn plot that like they just had this person sign a contract for X amount of episodes and then we're going to see where it went, because I'm sure that's how the show works. And, you know, they're like, Sam is in high school. This girl is in college. Maybe let's move on.
And like a faculty member at his high school.
Yeah. Like it's for the best, I think. Unfortunately. Love you, Nurse Penny.
Yeah. Got any more Blaine thoughts?
I just love him. This episode is a great Blaine episode.
It is a very good Blaine episode. Yeah. This and Big Brother are like the shining Blaine A-plot episodes, you know?
They're great. And, like, you know, I also really like the episode where he's, like, filling his life with extracurriculars because he's missing his partner. Like,
Yes.
I love that episode.
Dynamic duets, baby.
Yeah. So good. But yeah, totally. We love flawed characters in this house.
Heck yeah, we do, baby. You know why? Because we are two flawed characters ourselves.
What the fuck?
I was talking about myself.
Are you calling me flawed?
I was talking about myself and the reflection of myself in my phone screen.
Oh, that's sweet. Okay.
Not you.
Not I thought you. So. Your butt.
Talking about me and the puppet replica of myself I have next to my bed.
No, but for real, I love a flawed character because I, you know, when I see Rachel succeeding and doing well and never making a mistake, I'm like, I can't relate to that. I've literally never succeeded and done well and never made a mistake. You know what I mean? I'm always on that grind.
Literally, the more successful and the more attractive and the more well-adjusted Rachel becomes, the less I like her. Goodness sakes.
And the less I want to watch a TV show about her, you know, that's seriously. Just the truth.
You want to talk about, what are your thoughts on the Sue stuff in this episode?
Okay. I kind of dig the Sue stuff in this episode. I think this is a pretty good Sue episode. I think, like, having someone who, the other day at work, someone, I had my hair up. And I was like wearing a ball cap and also like my work hoodie. So.
And you had like a fake mustache drawn on?
I did. And someone called me sir. And I thought I was going to burst into flames. It ruined my day. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? But I was also, I was wearing a mask. Like all my, you know, I was just like, I was pissed. You know, so it like, it is so, and especially like as a tall woman, I was like, oh my God, give me a break. But also the moment where you like see someone who you think might be like a potential love interest of yours, seeing you as like your bro, you know, is like devastating. And like, you know, the lengths you go to like try and become what they kind of want, or I don't know, not that I think that that's what she's doing here, but I feel like that's relatable, at least that. And like her being like, I have like made my femininity a weakness of mine, let me like become more girly and see how the school board likes me and become what the school board maybe wants, and then maybe I'll date the superintendent. I think it's fun. I think it's a fun episode, and I like Sue confiding in Becky. I like Sue confiding in Unique. I'm into this.
Yeah, I really like this episode. We've already talked about that. I like this plot line a lot. I like, you know, Sue is a more masculine, has like more of a masculine energy about her. Yeah. I like her kind of coming into touch with her femininity, especially her talking about the reason that she had to shed herself of her femininity was because people weren't respecting her back in the day.
Yeah.
What I love about this plot line, though... is the fact that this whole thing stems from the fact that this man that Sue is interested in thought that she was a dude, and she's so humiliated, and she needs him to know that she's a woman because they're perfect for each other. And she goes through all this trouble, does this whole makeover, meets him again. He's so complimentary of her as the principal. He apologizes. He's like, I'm so sorry. Just sometimes I get with my job, I get really focused on something and I don't notice what's around me. I'm so sorry. And then she asks him out. And he still is not interested in going out with her. And it's mega awkward.
It's really funny.
Like, that's just so funny. And the way the other superintendent blows his cheeks out of like, "Ooh, that was uncomfortable. Anyways, let's go."
Yeah.
It's just, it's such a like genius undercut of keeping it from being, I don't know, like potentially corny.
Yeah, no, totally. It's really funny.
It's just
funny.
Like such a fun... such a fun subversion where it's like she got what she wanted. He like sees her femininity. She is being acknowledged as a powerful woman while also being feminine. Mm-hmm. But like at the end of the day, this guy's just not into her and he's not going to go out with her. And that's the end of that.
No, totally. It's so funny. Yeah, totally. And I think you're so right. Like this, this plot like could potentially be so corny, especially like with all of it, but just having it with this guy who's just like an idiot and was like, oh, actually I just don't want to date you, okay, bye. It's very funny, and it like, I think grounds this plot very well. I think it's lovely.
We also have a few banger moments in this plot. There's when the superintendent first asks Sue if she's married, and she goes, no, I married myself once, but I don't think it was legal. Shout out Matthew Hodgson. There was a show Bible for that one. Good for you.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
Also, when we have the flashback to the 80s, and it's when Sue first meets Figgins, and he's trying to talk like Crocodile Dundee to make the students respect him, And like, bless Iqbal Thiba. I don't know how hard he was trying, but the fact that he cannot do an Australian accent to save his life makes it so much funnier than if he was actually good at the accent. The way that it's like just barely an Australian accent, but mostly his normal accent is so, so funny.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I think that flashback is such a fun flashback in so many ways, like having her chop all of her hair off and just look the exact same. Like, she has like not changed her outfit since the 80s. Like, is just hilarious. Like, everyone around her in like full 80s garb and her in just the outfit we know and love her in is just so funny. And also intercut with the scene of her and Becky eating ice cream and just like, you know, chit-chatting. Like, it's just, that whole scene is so fun. And her, like, you know, like confiding in this girl and being like, that sucked so bad. I hated that. I was so fun.
It's also nice to have Unique get a moment that isn't her being traumatized. And yeah, I mean, absolutely. It does suck that, like, Unique's moments of happiness are always just her being an accessory to someone else. Like, it'd be nice if she could get her own plot line that was her having a good time. Mm-hmm. But it was nice to have a little Sue Unique interaction that was positive. And then they have that moment where after Sue's makeover, she's walking with the superintendent and she looks at Unique and Unique gives her that knowing glance back of like, oh, it's working. That was nice to see.
It was. I really liked that.
Dancing cheek to cheek is the least interesting of the hallucinations, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It's still fun, though. I still have a good time with it. And I like how different all of them are. I like how Blaine, we get like a Sesame Street number that is full Sesame. It's very like the song they pick is a very, I know it's like a Queen song, but it's a very like kiddie friendly song. Yeah. And the acting that Blaine does is very kids TV. Yeah,
totally.
And then Jake's fantasy sequence is so like dirty, sexy, 80s, dance heavy, intense. And then this one is so schmaltzy 1930s song and dance. It just keeps the gimmick from getting tired that we're given something so different every single time.
Absolutely. And honestly, like, I think all of the imagination sequences in this episode are so great. Even thinking about the one in New York, like, this episode is just so fun because it's like, what are a bunch of songs we want to do, but maybe don't have like context for? You know, let's just like do it. Let's just like throw shit at the wall and like do all the things. It's just like such a fun and smart way to do all these numbers that like might not ordinarily fit in an episode. It's just awesome. It is lovely.
I so agree. I just feel like they had fun with this episode, you know? I feel like they were excited about what they could do with it.
Yeah.
And I also like, we have that moment where at the end of the episode, she's giving the tour to the superintendent and then Figgins as the janitor runs in and he says, she can't be principal. She's endangered the lives of these students. There's a gas leak in this school that has gone unnoticed. And then the discovery for us as the audience that Sue actually fixed the gas leak last night because during Cheek to Cheek, she realized, oh, this is insane. This is definitely a hallucination. Literally. And then realized there was a gas leak, went in and fixed herself.
Oh my
gosh. That's very funny.
It was very funny. Mm-hmm. It also, I don't know, I literally, when it started, I literally forgot that was the spot that, like, if you sat in that spot. Like, so she was chatting with Will, having like a very earnest conversation. Will walks away and then she starts having a hallucination. And it tickled me because I forgot that was the spot that happened. And I was like, God, that is so smart. I just love it. It was so funny.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
All right. You ready for New York?
Yeah.
Oh, that wasn't very enthusiastic.
Here's my deal. I don't know that I love the Pamela Lansbury stuff most ever. I don't mind it in this episode, but it's like not my favorite like avenue that they're going down. The idea that Rachel is like ditching all of her Broadway shit to come be in this band, this Madonna cover band, you know, is just kind of silly to me. And I think up until the Madonna song that they do, I was like, I don't know that this band is a real band. Like, the Madonna song that they do in this episode, I think is very fun. And I was like, oh, okay, I think I would, like, go see this show. But, like, the idea of it, I think, is kind of silly. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And, like, the way that every single person is, like, not wanting to be a part of this band, but Kurt is, like, dragging them all along, is just like, okay, all right, you guys. It's kind of hard to watch, just from that perspective, I think.
This whole band doesn't make a lot of sense. We've talked about it before. Like you said, none of them seem interested in being there. And also they keep meeting up as a band, but without the band. Like, they have so many band meetings in this episode. The drummer, the guitarist, the bassist, like all the people who are actually making sure they have music are not invited to any of these meetings. What's going on with that?
Literally. Like, I think we said this before, but I feel like the hardest part about forming a band is like filling out your like instruments. We've got singers up the ass, especially here in New York, but like, where's your drummer? Danny's here. Where's the drummer?
And all of that makes it feel less like a fresh new direction. Wow, I did not mean to make that reference. It makes it feel less like a fresh new direction. And it makes it feel more like a retread of just the New Directions. Because they're not forming a band. They're forming a show choir. Yeah. It's just the New Directions in New York. And it's much less compelling because they're not all high school kids dealing with relatable high school issues anymore. If it was a little bit more like a real band and it was Kurt trying to deal with like new people who played instruments and trying to make all of that work, maybe it would feel fresher and more interesting. But I agree with you. It's just kind of like, what are we doing here? Why is Rachel in this band, period? Yeah. That doesn't make any sense. Also, she doesn't need to be a part of everything. And no one is into this but Kurt. And I don't know.
Yeah, it's just hard to watch, especially like when all of them don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm. I don't like super hate it.
Sure.
It's just not incredibly compelling. Like the McKinley stuff in this episode, I am dialed into.
Yeah, seriously.
The New York stuff, frankly, on my second watch, I was fully like getting stuff done during the New York stuff.
Yeah.
It would go to New York and I was like, well, I better clean up my room a little bit. I was fully tapped out for it. So that said, them singing Into the Groove is a fun number and their outfits are awesome. They're like 80s neon outfits. Great.
It's really fun. And like, until that number, I feel like I really couldn't, like, conceptualize what this band would look like. But, like, it's pretty fun. It's pretty fun. Is it, like, I think we could have had Kurt be in a band without Rachel. You know, I don't mind that Santana is there, but it feels like at this point there's too many cooks in the kitchen. But I did really love this number, and I think it was a blast and like a great choice, and they look so cute, and it was a very fun number.
You know, it'd be more interesting. Kurt forms a band,
yeah,
with Elliot. Elliot like also plays guitar to justify him being there, and with Danny. Danny does not work at the Spotlight Diner. Danny auditions for the band, is the pianist and one of the vocalists. Santana meets Danny because she is in her roommate's band. And they start a relationship that way.
Oh, I think that's good.
Danny is Kurt's friend first, and then there's that drama of, like, I don't want you dating my roommate because, like, we're friends and bandmates, and that could be drama. And then it gives Santana an excuse to always be hanging out with the band. And then Rachel's not part of the band at all. I don't want her in that plot line. But, like, it gives Kurt a more personal relationship with everyone, and I think that would be more interesting.
I think that's way more interesting. That's a great idea. Let's do it. Let's write that down. Let's put it in our Glee reboot.
Great. We will. In our Glee reboot, where we remake every episode individually, so it's the same basic episode, but we just improve it.
Yeah, we just make it better. And then in this episode, well, in the episode where people were like, Danny auditions for the band, Kurt sings, "You're in the band."
Exactly. What is that song? I don't know what that is.
It's from School of Rock, the musical.
100%, not enough Andrew Lloyd Webber. One thing I really love about Into the Groove is the fact that Kurt sings lead, because the other times we've heard Pamela Lansbury sing, he has sung backup, and it's fully his band that he had the idea for.
Yeah.
Very glad to have him leading a song for once. It's also funny to me that Danny, who is doing much more than anyone else, because she's a full, like, instrumentalist, is so pushed to the back, you can't even see her, is barely on camera this whole number. And I'm like, girl's actually doing stuff. Santana and Rachel are just standing and doing oohs and ahs.
To me, at least, like, Demi Lovato is a real rock star. And, like, if you're gonna, like, pay Demi Lovato to be in this episode, like, let's put Demi Lovato in the episode. You know what I mean?
Like, a band that's Demi Lovato, Adam Lambert, and Chris Colfer, like, just the three of them kicking ass, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what I want.
So awesome.
Get those other two out of there.
I know.
I love Santana. She's
but Santana
not
could be doing
in the...
anything right now. And Rachel actively has something to do, and they keep giving her lines about ditching the thing she has to do.
Mm-hmm. Like, girl, you are making a Broadway salary at age 19, you should be prioritizing that. You know how lucky you are? And you're throwing it out to be the fourth lead vocalist in a Madonna cover band?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Also crazy to me, and I mean, like you said, they do acknowledge this in the episode that it is a little crazy, but crazy to me that Kurt is like, Blaine, my band is having a performance at some tiny little bar tomorrow, so could you buy a plane ticket and fly hours to see our 1 hour set and ditch school for it and then go back? And then he's upset when Blaine doesn't do it. Wild. I do understand that he's upset that Blaine committed to it and then flaked out without telling him. That's good reason to be upset. But the fact that he is so, when he talks to Blaine, it's not that, like, it was Blaine's idea to do it and then Blaine flaked out. Kurt puts that expectation on him of, like, hey, could you drop some money and fly a bunch of hours and potentially miss school your senior year to see me play in a bar? No.
Yeah. I think he sent him a voucher, though. He sent him a JetBlue voucher.
He does say a JetBlue voucher.
Does that mean he paid for his plane? That,
I like to think that was, like, 10% off.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it wasn't anything crazy.
What's Kurt's life like that he could cover a round trip to New York City on a JetBlue voucher? Where'd he get that voucher?
Spotlight Diner.
I guess. Someone was like, I don't have any cash to tip you with, but he was a round trip from Ohio.
Also, they fly so frequently, he probably, like, gets good discounts.
That's true. They got the frequent flyers at the Wazoo. Anyways, what we have left is the, dare I say, best part of this episode?
I would say so.
Our final number. What does the fox say?
Frankly, there's not much to say about it. This number has no substance. It's not well choreographed. Uh-uh. It's not well thought out. It is on, like, the you're going to hear me roar like set. It is silly. It is not fun. It's not innovative. It's just stupid. And they just wanted to have everyone sing a song with their puppets.
Why do they have puppets? It's a song about animals.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. It's just like, it's stupid.
If they sing like Rainbow Connection, it would make sense.
They've already done Rainbow Connection.
You know?
That's the thing.
I know the Waffle Toots did it. But the Muppet catalog is rich with incredible songs. Manamana, come on. But oh, like, yeah. Honestly.
Manamana, the Glee version, come on.
Genuinely, if they want to do a big closer with puppets, because they have to do a closer, do a number that like makes sense why you're doing it with puppets. This feels like a hat on a hat, you know?
I am so glad you called it a hat on a hat.
But it's like, they're already doing this song that's a meme, which is already dumb and weird enough. And then on top of that, they're doing a song with puppets.
Yeah.
You can do, you know, a normal song with puppets, and that's dumb and silly. Or you can do this song that's a meme, and that's dumb and silly. If you do both of them, it is so dumb that it cancels any silliness out, and it's just dumb.
Yeah, that math definitely maths. It's just not silly. It's just...
Two sillies make a serious, you know?
Yeah, seriously. No, I don't even have any, like, funny take about it. It's just, like, this episode is so great. They could have done anything to get these puppets on screen, and they squandered it by trying to, like, you know, relate to the kids.
Them singing We Can't Stop by Miley Cyrus is such a bonkers choice, but I can see a world where that's funny.
Yeah.
This wasn't. This just broke Kevin McHale. That's all it did.
And this episode is, I don't know, it broke me too. And I remember this, because I don't remember this episode fondly. And like we said earlier, this is a great episode that like makes people think it's great and like breaks us and breaks its actors. And you can see it in all their faces that they kind of all hate it. Like, I don't think anyone other than Lea Michele and Adam Lambert are having fun. And I especially don't like that.
She is making eyes at him. She's doing eyebrows. She is riffing with her eyes closed. I'm like, you're singing about a fox and your hand is up a puppet's butt. Like,
literally,
what's happening in your brain?
And like, I feel like when Glee doesn't have anything, it at least has some fun and some whimsy. And there is ne'er fun nor whimsy in this song. It is stupid.
Yeah. Well, what the fox say? That's it. That's a sneeze and rap on Puppet Master. I like just talking about that number kind of killed my energy.
I know, right? Which sucks. This episode is fun.
It's so bad. Oh my gosh.
It's bad.
Doom, doom, doom.
Best part, worst part.
Boom.
Lena, what's your best part of this episode?
Ian, I'm so glad you asked me first because my best song is Nasty / Rhythm Nation. And
you're probably
going to
take my worst part too.
And my best part of the episode is I love the entire Blaine plot. I love learning more about Blaine. I love him being like a nasty senior with control issues who just wants everyone to follow his lead and no one will take a hint. So he just copes with making puppets so everyone takes a hint, at least in his mind. That's so funny. I love it. Ian, what's your best part?
My best number is obviously the one that you said, but my second best is probably You're My Best Friend. A lot of fun. Darren Criss's commitment to being so cheesy and over the top really sells it. I just love a puppet number. My best part? Honestly, best part of the whole episode is Becky saying, because I like saying bad words, bitch!
And
then pushing everything off her desk.
Great Becky episode.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
What's your worst part?
My worst part is ding 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 ding. What's your worst part?
That obviously, but besides that, Probably just New York. And New York isn't...
It's not strong.
Yeah. But it's not, like, bad. It's not like, I hated it. It's just, like, I kind of had a harder time paying attention because it was less interesting.
Yeah.
So, that.
Yeah. Honestly.
Shoot.
That's a sneeze and wrap. I had a great experience with this episode. I love the ones where I don't remember them fondly and then walk away feeling kind of better about them. This episode rocks.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, that was fun. This one was fun. Sorry, Matthew Hodgson, you did a good job.
You really did.
Well, everyone, if you have thoughts on Puppet Master, if you still hate it, if you've always loved it and this was vindicating for you, we want to hear them. Send them to recoveringgleek@gmail.com. Let us know. We will share some of your emails on our minisode coming out a week from today.
Well, if you want, you can follow us on social media. We're at recoveringgleek_podcast on TikTok and Instagram, and we are at recoveringgleek on Twitter. If you want to support our podcast, you can do so in a free way. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, write up a little review for us, give us a rating. Why won't you? It helps our podcast a lot. If you've got a spare couple of dollars, you can subscribe to our Patreon. We've got videos of all of our podcasts. We've got our podcast without ads. We've got monthly bonus episodes. Our Thanksgiving episode, of course, we did the Thanksgiving body snatching movie of the century. Freaky Friday 2008? Question mark?
Three?
No.
Yes, three. Yeah.
Whoa. That movie is not that old. That's crazy. 2003. Whoa. I guess it's before Mean Girls. Well, that rocked my world.
Yeah.
That's really crazy. We just talked about that. We're going to, you know, maybe you, and if you subscribe soon, you can help us pick out what we're going to do for December. Then that'll be kind of fun. A perk of being a part of our Patreon is, at the end of every Maxisode, we give you a little shout out in the form of a little game. And this week it's Ian's turn to try and say all of our top tier patrons' names as fast as he can. Ian, are you ready?
Heck yeah. I don't remember what my last one was, but I remember it was my record for fastest I've ever done it. But it was also recorded outside of an episode. You know, I had to like insert it afterwards.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So I had been resting. So we're going to see what happens here.
Okay.
A big thank you to go. Willie, Evie, Sarah, Camelin, Danica, Shalane, Salty Boy, Hannah, Eli, Sazana, Zana, Mary Kay, Atticus, Brittany, Meg, Ava, Carolina, Reagan, Meredith, Calorchio, Katie, Alex, Josette, Tori, Amy, Marcus Lowe, Ethan, Danielle, Brisa, Maggie, Ian, Sutton, Madeline, Tiffany, Alani, Rachel, Elise, Kieran, Diane, Ellerane, Jeanette, Benjamin, Suzanne, Blanton, Lola, Ben, Alice, Bay, Bamisham, Katie, Fanson, Nadia, Savannah, Fadia, Meadow, Nicole, Allie, Joseph, Jackson, Tori, Galley, Caitlin, Patrice, Garbage, Maddie, Abby, Kodiak, Kristen, Story, Natasha, Liz, Eileen, Mariah, Manuel, Mallory, Sarah, Hannah, Matilda, Rebecca, Libby, Lee, Eve, Jordan, Andrew, Elizabeth, Christina, Dell, Ari, Liam, Riley, Juliana, Elijah, Stephanie, Haley, Raphael, Marissa, Rin, Taylor, Kimberly, Carlin, Frankie, Dana, Chase, Finley, Jocelyn, Margaret, Despina, Liz, Josie, Nash, Aaron, Alana, Marin, Han, Han, Phoebe, Kaylee, Caitlin, Megan, Emily, Aria, Jeremy, Beatrice, Ava, Ava, Haley, Emily, Anaya, Michelle, Lauren, Marcus, Lisa, I'm for Ice, Jacqueline, Spencer, Elsie, Troy, Mallory, Meredith, Phoebe, Hannah, Laura, Ray, Emily, Alyssa, Charlie, Lily, Melanie, Yanula, Samantha, Sam, Aubrey, Stephanie, Kate, Kelsey, Haley, Tiffany, Emily, Leah, Kelsey, Isabel, Amira, Thomas, Chucho, Cyrus, Brittany, Victoria, Aaliyah, Naomi, Haley, Robbie, Andy, Mackenzie, Rhiannon, Ashley, Roman, Michael, Andre, Katie, Will, Elizabeth, Freddie, Sinead, Emma, Emma, Turtle, Allison, stop. Ah! What? A minute 19.
Last time was a minute 10, so didn't quite meet the record.
I felt like I was going blind. We love all of our patrons. So thank you so much for supporting our podcast. Yeah. Also, as Lena said, if you don't have the money to support our Patreon, or sort of if you just don't want to, like, I respect that.
You don't have to.
If you enjoy our podcast, we would love it if you rated and reviewed us.
Yeah.
Especially right now with Jenna and Kevin's new podcast releasing. Mm-hmm. If you type in Glee on Apple Podcasts, their podcast comes up first, and then a few down is ours. A lot more people are going to be like looking for Glee content with their podcast releasing. And if you like our podcast, we would love it if more people could also listen. A lot of people listening to that podcast will get ours recommended to them if we have people rating and reviewing us. So if you enjoy listening and you could just take 5 minutes out of your day to do that on Apple Podcasts, we would appreciate it so much.
Definitely. Absolutely. Well, we love you all so much. Seriously, thank you so much for being here. I'm like so grateful to be able to sit and chat about this silly show with my friend. I'm so glad that there are people who want to listen and who feel similar to the way we do. It makes me feel so good, and it is, you guys are the light of my life, and I just love you. I'm really grateful for all of you. So I hope you have a great rest of your week, and I hope, you know, everything's going well for you right now, because I just think you deserve it. Here is a kiss on your forehead from me to you. If you accept, consensual four-eye kisses.
Here's a kiss from me. Owie, owie, yahoo! Owie, owie, yahoo! Adam Lambert's face, when he does that, he's committed.
Yeah.
He's committed. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
I was a child who was very into the special features on DVDs. I would watch them constantly because I was a weirdo.
You and me both.
And that's how I discovered what a Foley artist was the special features for Monsters Incorporated. And it showed a clip of the Foley artist making all the sounds for the monsters. And I'll never forget the orange monster that's like a stick that has a bunch of tentacles coming out the sides. When it goes to its door, the way the Foley artist made its noise was they took their cheeks and just like moved their cheeks really fast to a microphone. So it was like this. It left such an impression on me that literally every few months I'll just be sitting alone in my room and I'll be like, the monster from Monsters Incorporated. And I'll just do it to myself and imagine the monster moving its tentacles.
Honestly, let's quit podcasting. Let's be Foley artists.
We're going into Foley artism. We're going to be Foley artisans.
I have an interesting new take. Maybe you've heard of this one. This is the orange monster going through the door from Monsters, Inc.
Oh my gosh, it sounds just like him. Okay, I have an interesting new take. This is the fox walks in the door and he starts talking. Oh, yo, yahoo! Oh, yo, yahoo!
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.